Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope you guys are doing well. Happy New Year to everyone. This is my first time being able to do a show in 2021. I do apologize about that. I've been dealing with some issues with family, but God is good. I'll say that. And, you know, we're just going to keep praying and trust the Lord with everything that's going on. But I am so excited to be back in 2021. Be back with you guys. And, I wanted to do a wrap up 2020 show and I didn't get a chance to do that. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We want to talk about some significant things that happened in 2020 and just review those things and reflect on them. And I'm excited to have two amazing individuals that will do this reflection with me today. Both of them are certainly great friends of mine, but in their own right, they are just phenomenal people that are doing amazing things in the community, the local, state, and national level. So I am excited to have with me today the City Councilwoman for District 4, Ms. Toya Tucker, and we also have my BFF, a great man who just served as the political director for the state of Georgia for the Joe Biden campaign, Mr. Dominic Perkins. So thank y'all for joining me, Toya and Dominic. Let's jump right in. Well, before I jump in real quick, I just got to give a quick shout out to my man, Jake Johnson over in Talbot County. May I say Sheriff Jake Johnson over in Talbot County. He is officially sworn in and he is doing his thing and we're so proud of him. I also want to give a shout out to the new sheriff over in Americas as well. Congratulations to you, my brother, and you're just doing a phenomenal things down there. And just so much has happened since I've been away from you guys, but we're certainly going to touch on that a lot today. But first, let me get to City Councilwoman Toya Tucker. Toya, 2020 was an amazing year for you. You were elected to City Council to serve in District 4 to finish the term of Mayor Pro Temp Evelyn Turner Pugh, but you also was elected to your own term, which started this January when you were sworn in just a few weeks ago. Toya, how do you feel? And take us back to that moment when you realized that the numbers were going in your favor.
Wow, City. This is an amazing feeling because you know how hard it is, how much work we put into elections. I'm very humbled. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for the voters that came out. And at times, I'm honestly almost speechless. And you know, that's not something that most politicians will say.
So, I understand.
But I'm thankful. And we had record number turnout this election cycle.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And, you know, I was so proud of the voters of Muskogee County and West Central Georgia altogether. Back during the primaries in May, and also I think they were pushed to June. And also in November, and how they just came out and voted this year. This was certainly an election year to remember. And Dominic, I kind of want you to go ahead and jump in with us because this is going to be a group discussion here. But Dominic, you were on the front lines of helping now President Joe Biden flip the state of Georgia, which had not been won since I think it was 1992 with Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And so, man, what an experience. A kid growing up right here in Columbus, Georgia, on the south side, down in what was it?
Benny
Hills and over in Overlook and I'm in Oakland Park and those areas. How did it feel to be a part of that movement?
Oh, it was really an amazing experience for me. I actually started off working with the campaign some in the primary, but things of course shifted because of COVID, and just stay connected with folks on the campaign, and then I eventually got hired as you mentioned, as a political director for the campaign. So it was just amazing to be like it was kind of, you know, the job of my dreams, like something I'd always wanted the opportunity to be able to do. And, you know, to just be able to wake up every day and do things. You know, I got to work with some of the best and brightest talent in the country, you know, putting together events, like serving as an event lead for every time, you know, I got to serve as an event lead on those events, work directly with their staff, and just seeing that talked about in national news, like the work that I was doing was just an amazing experience. So,
I mean,
I really, really enjoyed it.
You were also
an experience of a lifetime.
You were also over the part of the program and initial planning and execution of that planning when President Barack Obama came to Atlanta to campaign for Joe Biden. I mean, that had to be big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was just, you know, an amazing experience. Like, you know, with him in town, and then the former, you know, former president coming to Georgia, and then working with, you know, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms and her staff, having her be part of the event. Stacey Abrams, just these huge names in politics. So just being able to participate in that, that's still like, you know, that's one of many things that was just, you know, unbelievable. There was days, you know, where you would wake up thinking it was just going to be a normal day, and I would do something that just shocked me. That seemed to happen every day. It was really something different and something new every day, and it was the most amazing experience ever.
Well, I know that a lot of local people here in West Central Georgia will never forget their being able to put their eyes directly on Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, and, you know, and just to be in the same vicinity and to know that Georgia was so important in that election, and equally important was the city of Columbus and this area. And I'm glad that she came. I'm glad that Dr. Jill Biden came down early in the campaign as well, because that showed, you know, the people here that you are important. Every vote matter. And Dominic Antoya, what do you think we need to do to keep this same energy of engagement going into our local elections as well as our state level elections? You know, we have to keep this energy up. But, you know, it's so much hard work to rile up that much excitement just for one presidential election every 4 years, and then we don't do it again. How can we keep that going?
Definitely have to keep the momentum, Teddy, and, you know, we've discussed this over the years about in 2018, we were so excited about, you know, possibly having Stacey Abrams as governor, and then after she lost, or it was stolen, we just kind of dropped off. We took our tails and we left. And it's much harder to try to rebuild and to bring people back up than it is to just stay in this momentum. And I'm actually very happy about all the organizations who were very instrumental in our Get Out the Vote efforts. You know, you had Black Voters Matter that were out there heavily. You had the Urban League working, and, you know, although our local NAACP at the time wasn't active as much throughout the entire state and other locations, the NAACP was very active, having multiple webinars and Zoom calls, I mean, with Oprah, you know, and that's one of the things. You just have to appeal to many demographics, and not just, you know, one group of people. We can't, you know, you hear comments like, we only are concerned with the elitists, and that's not true. It's everybody. Like, every vote counts. And this, over these last, I'm going to say, 12 months, we've shown just that, you know, that every vote matters. So, kudos to all those organizations who put in hard work, and definitely you know, I'm giving a pat on the back to the three of us as well, because we were instrumental. Teddy, you know, Reese, we were ready for Teddy. If your name wasn't on the ballot.
But we was pumping it up. We was pumping it up because it's always for the greater good. You know, and Toya and Dominic, I want both of you guys to touch on this one. We saw the Columbus Civic Center utilized in a way that we have never, ever, ever seen before. The Civic Center somewhat became the epic center of the political activity here in Columbus, Georgia, as candidates came back numerous times, different gospel concerts, you know, concerts for the younger generation, you know, just a very livid and electrified environment. How much do you think that actual exposure engaging the electorate played in getting the vote turnout here in Columbus? I'm Toya and Dominic.
I think it was extremely important, in particularly if we're discussing the runoff elections we had for the two Senate candidates, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, and also Daniel Blackman, who was running for public service commissioner, all three on the Democratic side. I think those continuous events and continuous engagement of the electorate in Columbus and other places, you know, all across Georgia is extremely important, particularly in a runoff race, because it's so easy for people to, you know, it's the holidays, you know, folks have Christmas coming up, New Year, stuff like that. So it's very easy for people to, you know, forget or find out what to do. And so by, you know, having these different types of events, the gospel concert, and the game, the Senate candidates themselves, and the Blackman, having all of those different people come to Columbus and other comparable cities, I think is a way to grab different attention, because, you know, people are interested in different kinds of things. So, you know, whereas Yang may bring out one group, a gospel concert, bring out a different. So just that continuous engagement, I think, is critical. And I fully expect to see it continue on into, you know, the next election cycle. And, you know, of course, on a smaller scale, would advise people locally to, you know, maybe have that level of engagement, but do some things like that to try to keep people interested.
Absolutely. I'm sure my good friend Jeremy Ackles, who works over there at the at the Civic Center, you know, the program coordinator over there, might as well say the deputy director. I bet you he thought that he was about to start getting a break from setting up all these events. But, man, Jeremy, I think you're about to be busy. You know, Toya, this time of year in 2021 reminds me of this time of year in 2020 when we first began to hear about this strange virus that was making its way through China. And it was beginning to go across the world. And if you watch the news on a nightly basis, it was like every day a new country was lining up on the map that the virus had showed up. And then, bam, here it was here in the United States. Had first been detected in Washington State and then in New York State. And then in Colorado, and then in many, 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 many other states. And I think Georgia was in one of the first 10 states to actually experience this virus that we now know as the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. COVID-19, Toya, has done so much damage to us here in the United States. I mean, we're almost at a year of being just in total restriction with everything, because I think it was around March of 2020 that we began to wear masks and people were summoned to stay inside their homes and not travel if they don't have to, and schools begin to let out and things of that nature. I think I educated, you know, my daughter at home for the rest of the year. We built the ABC wall, but it was also deadly. So many families here locally, so many families across the state, so many families across the nation has lost countless loved ones. Dinner tables where people used to sit, those seats now sit empty. folks are now going to visit graves of loved ones that was just here earlier that year. Some of them in very, very good health, top health. I mean, top shape health. And that virus just ravaged them and just caused so much turmoil to our local economy and everything else. Toya, it's been bad. It's been very bad. Thinking about how the coronavirus hit us in 2020, make a few comments about that, please.
Yes, it's difficult looking back on 2020, knowing that you have close friends who lost both their parents, or, you know, just individuals, I'm going to say just recently, we attended the NAACP Freedom Fund banquet, and it was only for the executive board committee members to attend. It was a telethon. It was a small event. We were social distancing, mask on, and now we have a scare because two people, you know, tested positive, and we all scrambled to go get our tests, and I thank the Lord that yesterday my test was negative. But this is our new reality, and it's a sad reality, but it's real, and we have to take it serious. You know, I'm speaking as a counselor. I need to be healthy not only for my family but for my constituents. So I'm paying attention to the events that I attend. Do I necessarily have to attend an in-person event? The answer is no.
And you know,
no, it's not being negative or right. Nasty. It's about this having some common sense, you know, judgment right now. Do we need to be in person? Do we need to, you know, record these shows? Like, I appreciate you, Teddy, for doing this show, and we're in the comfort of our home and also safety, and we're not putting anyone in danger. And guess what? On today, when we are listening, we're fine.
Absolutely, we're absolutely. Fine. And, you know, and this coronavirus caused a domino effect, Dominic. We saw extreme failure of leadership coming out of Washington, D.C., from the rollout to the vaccine to first telling people, oh, it's going to go away in a couple months. Oh, it's a hoax. Oh, don't wear a mask. You don't have to wear a mask. Many of the problems that we're seeing right now as a country could have been severely mitigated if we would have done what we needed to do to talk about the seriousness of this virus, the deadly propensity of this virus, and had an actual plan to roll out the vaccine once it's here. Here we sit in 2021, and most of the vaccine that has been created is sitting on shelves because we do not have a mass plan to distribute it. Dominic?
Yeah. It's what the coronavirus has harmed so many people in so many ways. I think it at this point, I don't know of anyone who hasn't been impacted by it directly or indirectly, and I'm sure that, you know, that includes everyone on this call. And it's a shame, but it did not have to be this bad. What we're seeing now and what we have seen over the past year is indicative of failed leadership from the top all the way down. And sadly, there's been a decision by leaders at the national and state level all across the country to politicize science, to politicize medicine, and to politicize this disease. And we saw it from the beginning, all of them, it's still happening now. We politicize masks. We politicize, you know, who to lay blame on for the disease itself. And it's just a failure. And at some point, we've seen some of it, like particularly in the state of Georgia. You had Mayor Van Johnson, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, Mayor Kelly Gertz, and other mayors across the state who defied the governor's nonsensical order to block local municipalities from making decisions, which I find ironic because we hear so often from Republicans this notion of local control. But in the one instance where we need local control about how to respond to a deadly virus, they strip local leadership of that power to do so. But those leaders, you know, decided to take control over their over their cities and do what's right to protect their people. We're fortunate for that in the state, and to have had leaders who were brave enough to do the right thing in the face of poor leadership at the national level. So what I would say to people is everyone who has the opportunity to lead in some way, you know, whether it's, you know, like yourself, Teddy, we're recording the show safely, to, you know, religious leaders, to community leaders, to elected officials from the local level all the way up, make decisions not based on politics, but make decisions based on the health of other people. And then I think secondarily, we also have to not politicize how we help people get through this pandemic. It's been difficult on so many people financially. Folks have lost jobs. They've lost their businesses. They're struggling. People haven't been able to pay to continue their education. Mm-hmm. And so we need to not politicize how we help people get through this difficult period in everyone's lives.
And you know, it's just so funny to me how the politicians, especially on the state and national level, the first thing they'll say is, we don't need to be politicizing this, but then they make a political statement. You know, it's just like, do you think we're that ignorant that we don't see exactly what you've just done? And of course, in 2020, we're certainly not going to forget the audacity of our governor to actually sue Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms of Atlanta because she wanted her city to be safe, because she wanted to tell her folks to wear a mask. But we knew at that time, Governor Kemp was falling right behind his leader, Donald Trump, just like ducks wilding in the same line. They were right behind him. And now look what happened. Because he lost Georgia, Donald Trump has thrown Governor Kemp so far up under the bus, he can tell us a full inspection of what the whole axle system looked like. And, you know, it's just absolutely unfortunate. And I appreciate Keisha Lance Bottoms in Atlanta. I appreciate Mayor Van Johnson over in Savannah and the other great mayors for standing up for their cities. And notice we did not forget to put Columbus on the list. Columbus is not on the list because our mayor wasn't brave enough to put restrictions in place early. And we did see a spike here in Columbus because of that. And we saw coronavirus here out of control for a minute because of that. So, you know, I just wish that we could have left politics all the way out of this, especially when it came to people's lives, especially when these folks knew that Donald Trump was misleading them. You know, we have seen quite a bit of death, Toya, in 2020, and we lost so many amazing people. But there's three I want to focus on right here for a quick moment. Two were giants in the civil rights movement of our country, of our state, and local actions right here in Columbus and Atlanta and other areas. And that was Congressman John Lewis and the Honorable C.T. Vivian. They passed away right there close together within a period of time over this past summer. And it was such a somber moment for the nation to see the little gentle giant that we know Congressman John Lewis to be, to have the last voice of that front line of people that marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, to march against injustice, to stand up against inequality, to stand up for freedom of speech, to stand up for freedom of expression, and to do the things that they needed to do for the movement that we needed in the civil rights time. I find it interesting that during the same period that we lost Congressman John Lewis, you had, again, a raggedy president in the White House that was attacking peaceful protesting groups like Black Lives Matter, that was simply trying to speak out against injustice in our community. and unequal treatment within areas of law enforcement. Let's revisit that moment for a second of losing John Lewis and C.T. Vivian. Toya, what was that moment for you?
Well, Teddy, you know, myself, Tonza Thomas, and Royal Anderson, we actually went to the state capitol, and when we touched the coffin, I'm still emotional right now. John Lewis, he is the reason why we actually can vote, you know, now. Like, he was the civil rights warrior for all of us. And to see that someone who he mentored, John Ossoff and his pastor, Raphael Warnock, actually win the Senate race, it almost feels like I hear him saying, well done. You know, just like, well done, well done. I'm just thankful, but it does hurt. I would have loved for him to witness our first female of African-American descent vice president. I mean, so many firsts that he did witness with Barack Obama, but it would have been great for him to actually see that. So we definitely miss him. The work that I do will always be in honor of him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. In memory of the Honorable Congressman John Lewis, thank you, sir. Yep. Thank you, and I hope you're up there smiling down on us. And Dominic, I know you may want to have a comment on that, but I want to toss this at you as well. I know you're a big sports fan, and we were also rocked with the loss, the tragic loss of Kobe Bryant and his daughter in a helicopter accident in 2020. And that just sent waves throughout the world of sports for arguably one of the greatest players to ever play the sport of basketball. Yeah. To leave this world in such a way, you know, have your comments at this point, my friend.
Yeah, losing Kobe Bryant really blew me away. I recall I was in a restaurant and I heard some guy saying, "I can't believe he's dead. I can't believe he's dead." And I had not been, you know, paying attention to TV or to my phone or whatever. And I heard somebody say, "Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant." And I just assumed that it was a Twitter hoax, that it couldn't have been real, because I think we all thought, you know, Kobe Bryant was this larger-than-life figure. He was a sports great, you know, just one of the best to ever play the game and really to play any sport. But he had surpassed just being a sports superstar. He also helped drive culture and shape culture in so many different ways. And he was kind of like an ambassador of the NBA. I know he was extremely active in supporting the WNBA and attending games and helping also promote the WNBA. And I think I'm sure we would all agree that we all thought Kobe Bryant was someone who was going to, you know, outlive everyone and continue to be this great who, you know, talked about the sport of basketball and uplifted it and just continued to do great and amazing things in the community and help improve people's lives. So when I heard about his passing, you know, particularly in the way it happened, it was unbelievable to me. And it took, from me at least, it took a long time. I don't know when it actually, like, settled in that he is gone and not coming back, but it took a while. And still to this day, sometimes when I see him, you know, I see clips of him on TV or on the internet or something like that, it's still hard for me to accept that, you know, someone who is as great as he but still so young is gone. So I think that was a huge loss for myself, and not just the country, but I would say all over the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that, we, you know, want to dedicate this show with warm hearts and just humbled minds to have been living amongst the time of these three individuals we just discussed, the Honorable Congressman John Lewis, the Honorable C.T. Vivian, and the greatest, the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant. Girl dad, hashtag girl dad. So as we get ready to close out the show, you guys, because we're running a little short on time, we made some local history here too in Columbus and in 2020. And it was an amazing time from a law enforcement perspective, especially as we begin to more loudly and openly question the actions and ask for cooperation and collaboration with local law enforcement entities. And it was in 2020 that we saw the first African-American chief of police named Mr. Freddie Blackman. And we also saw elected the first African-American sheriff of Muskogee County, Greg Countryman. I know for me, you guys, it was just such a magical moment, you know, and I know a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't just focus on race when you're thinking about things like election. It's simple to say that when you're a part of the majority race of this country. But when you're a part of the minority race of this country like myself, and you have waited such a long time to have the opportunity to see something of this nature and witness something of this nature, and to know deep down in your heart and in your soul that someone who looks like you are capable of doing the same job, but are oftentimes not given the opportunity to do that job, you know that this is a significant moment. So it's not at this moment that we can erase the race factor. No, let's celebrate the race factor. And let's say we have reached a point to where we know equality is recognized because a black man was elected for the first time to serve as sheriff of Muskogee County. Dominic, Toya, you guys have your point on that real quick for me.
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead. I think so one thing to your point, Teddy, for me, and this is something I truly believe in, but I think representation matters. So having, you know, representation, you know, based on race, gender, and those types of things matters a lot. And so, you know, having someone like Greg Countryman be elected sheriff, who was marshal already and is just a well-known and important figure in our community, I think is a huge thing. And is going to have a giant impact on the leadership of our community, and just means a lot. I think for the city of Columbus to have elected our first black elected sheriff, I think is a huge, huge thing for our community, and you know, and is just a huge indication of I think great things to come for Columbus.
Absolutely. So once again, we send a huge congratulations to Mr. Freddie Blackman and Sheriff Greg Countryman, who are currently in their posts and serving us already. And we look forward to working with you as a community to improve the lives and safety and health of everyone here in Columbus, Georgia. We know you can do it. We got your back. Please do not hesitate to call on us and let us help be your voice to get out in the community the things that we need to do to make things safer for us and for everyone. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I want to thank Dominic Perkins and City Councilwoman Toya Tucker from District 4 for joining me again today as we took a look in review for 2020 and as we're launching into 2021 looking for greatness. This has been Sunday Conversation. Have a good day.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.